You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's International Bath Day, Tony. When's the last time you took a bath?
Tony Kornheiser, alone or with a neighbor,
I don't even want to know the answer to that. Baths, yeah. Get out, get baths. Who's got time? You take a shower.
You're not a bath guy.
You know, yeah. I wouldn't even let Matthew, when he was a little kid, I wouldn't let him take a bath. Stand in the shower. Take a shower, get out, go about your business.
That's why you're a great dad. That's right. People don't understand that. You're a great dad. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Bradley Beal could get traded. A's fans turn out, and Andy North joins us to preview the U.S. Open. But we begin today with the Las Vegas Golden Knights trouncing Florida 9-3 to win the Stanley Cup in five games. Vegas came into the NHL as an expansion team 6 years ago. They made the Stanley Cup final in their first year of existence, losing to Washington. They made the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, and now they've won. Wilbon, what are your thoughts on what the Golden Knights have achieved in such a short time?
Tony, I do have some thoughts, and I went to the glasses earlier than you, beat you to the glasses, because I want to get into a terrific piece today on ESPN.com by Greg Wyshynski, who covers the NHL, about, you know, both the completely fearless owner, Bill Foley, and the way George McPhee, who we know, the director of operations
from
there,
the
who was at the Capitals before, the expansion draft and the way they leveraged it to get, you know, a team. And it's Vegas born. And that sort of labeling, that sort of branding is important there. And but also it distinguishes it from the Raiders and maybe the A's coming up. But, Tony, the players they got, George McPhee got, by leveraging the draft or using the draft, included guys in the game last night, Shea Theodore, William Carrier, Braden McNabb, William Carlson, Jonathan Marchessault. These guys are the guts, the core of the team, and they got that team, and they're still with the team, originals from when they lost to the Capitals in their second year of existence, or first year of existence, 2017-18. They're still there. And they built this team in such a way that it was described by some in the league as sort of ruthless. And so I watched this series thinking, wow, this is cool to have seen George McPhee operate for a long time in Washington with the Capitals as we did, and to cash it in this way, very impressive.
So I'm going to go back to the draft, and I'm going to say that people thought they had a tremendous advantage because of the liberality of the expansion draft. And there was a lot of grumbling by owners whose teams weren't doing all that well that maybe they should change the rules of the draft because Las Vegas came in and they were too good too soon. They did not change the rules. Seattle came in a couple of years ago and this year got into the playoffs this year very, very quickly. Buffalo, if I'm correct on this, hasn't been in the playoffs in 12 years, so maybe they ought to reapply as an expansion team. I look at what's happened in the last couple of days. There are two South Florida teams that lost in big-time finals, the Miami Heat and the Florida Panthers. They were trounced. You could tell the better teams right away. They were eights against ones, Mike. And when eights get this far, they get this far on guile, on luck, and on effort. But they don't really have the talent that the ones have. Mike, in the three home games that Vegas won, they won by a score of 21-7. That's a plus 14 differential in goals in a Stanley Cup final. That's outrageous.
That's outrageous. Yeah.
And Kachuk couldn't help them one way or the other in that one. It was a trouncing, both with the Heat and with the Panthers.
We should mention last night's game briefly and quickly. When Adin Hill made that save, a point-blank save early in the game, and then, like, seconds later, Vegas goes on to get a shorthanded goal to make it 1-0, and a minute and a half later, it's 2-0.
Yeah.
It's game over. It's game over at that point. So that was, like, wow. If you weren't watching in that segment, you missed it. You missed the decisive game that made Vegas the champion. The NBA season is over, but the hot stove is warming up ahead of next week's draft. your Washington Wizards, Tony, are reportedly exploring the idea of trading their star guard, Bradley Beal. Beal's the only player in the league with a full no-trade clause, so he'd have to approve any deal. And the team's new president, Michael Winger, is said to be in close contact with Beal's people. Tony, should your Wizards keep their star, Bradley Beal, or look to rebuild?
Yeah. Do you see me smiling? You see me smiling?
Yeah.
Because you know how I feel about this. You know I don't think this is a serious question. They should trade him this evening if they could. Because as good a player as you may think he is, they don't win any games with him. The hard part is his contract is the worst contract to absorb in the entire league. It's $250 million with a complete no-trade clause. Let's look at Bradley Beal. Ever since John Wall left, and it's been Bradley Beal's team, here's the record. 129-179. They made the playoffs once. They were quickly eliminated. Bradley Beal also gets hurt a lot. Bradley Beal lately has missed 86 games in the last three seasons. Look, he averages 27 points a game. He'd be a great third option or fourth option on a good team, on a Boston, on a Milwaukee, on a Miami, on the Lakers, of course. But there's no point in the Wizards keeping him because they don't win any games with him. The Wizards lead the league in absurd contracts to guards. They gave John Wall an absurd contract. He's out of the league. A good team like the Clippers said, get out of here. And a bad team like the Rockets said, get out of here. Bradley Beal, I'm not saying he's not a good player. He's a high-volume scorer. I'm saying they don't win any games with him. So what's the point? They churn that roster every year. What's the point?
Well, that's why Winger, who's been on the job about a minute and a half, apparently wants to hit the reset button. And, Tony, here's what I think is going to annoy you in real time because you live there. You don't travel to see other teams. You watch the locals, and you pay attention to the Wizards.
I do.
Tony,
I do.
The name, the only name that you're going to recognize, they're talking about potentially getting back, is Tyler Hero. All right? Tyler Hero, who's not as good as Bradley Beal, just isn't. This is an attempt if they do it. And, yes, it's more than just reported. They are listening. Tony, it's a reset, hitting the reset button. They're going to get draft picks and spare parts and start over, and that means crawl on the floor for a while.
Good.
Like, I don't know, Oklahoma City, except Oklahoma City has 140 picks and great players. You are?
Well, Mike, they're a 35-win team. They're not bad enough to go high in the lottery. They're not good enough to make the playoffs. They tread water in the same pool every single year. End it. Nobody wants to go see it. They stink. Yeah. I'm moving on. The Oakland A's won their seventh straight game last night, their second Tampa, the best team in baseball. Instead of the usual empty seats in the Oakland Coliseum, there were 28,000 fans last night in what they called a reverse boycott. The A's fans want the team sold and kept locally and not moved to Las Vegas. But yesterday as well, the Nevada Senate voted to authorize $380 million for a baseball stadium to house the A's. Wilbon, which part is most interesting to you?
You're kidding, right? First of all, 28,000 spectators means there were 20,000 empty seats there still. I know that place because I've been going to Warriors games for a long time, and I will take a little detour. If you turn right in the tunnel when you're walking into the Dubs, you can walk into Oakland Alameda County Stadium, and there's nobody there. And so last night, 28,000, are you kidding me? The Cubs and the Red Sox would order an inquisition. An investigation if they had as little as 28,000 seats on some game. So I don't want to hear about that. This is about moving to Vegas. And I like Oakland, and I'm sorry they've lost all their teams. I am. But, Tony, this is about moving to Oakland. And they're going to put a team out there that is competitive, that draws a lot of fans. 28,000 will be a light night. And so that's the big news. Oakland does this. They get teams that win a bunch of games some years, and everybody talks about how great they are and undermanned, and it doesn't mean jack by the time we get to September. So the big news
is... I'm going to tell you this, Mike.
It's Las Vegas.
No, I understand that. I agree with that because the state of Nevada will put up public funds, and the state of California is not going to do that. That road is gone. Okay, that's exhausted. And so what's going to happen is they're going to move, and the state of Nevada just gave them a runway to land on. But here's where you and I disagree. If they got 28,000 people every night, this would not have happened. I watched that last night. That was a made-for-TV event. It was totally calculated. And I think it's moving to a degree. When you see all these people, it seemed like everybody had a sign that said, sell the team. Mike, I know that feeling because of the football team in Washington, because they want the owner to sell. Now, they never threaten to move. They're never going to move the football team. So you feel for the fans in Oakland.
Because I do feel nothing, for them.
There's nothing they can do. Remember
they
about
can go
15
to the
or 16 years ago? Well, the team stinks. You know what? I'm not even going to go back 15 or 16 years. When I watched the clip last night and I saw the home whites where athletics is in script across the chest and
great
it's gold
unis.
And green piping.
Great
they
unis,
are
the
great
best.
Uniforms.
They are.
Great uniforms.
They are.
Let's take
nobody
a break.
Sees them. Ever.
Coming up, LA Country Club is hosting its first U.S. Open. Who does it set up welfare for? We're going to ask Andy North.
We'll also ask him whether he thinks Brooks Koepka can win double-digit majors, because Koepka thinks Koepka can win double-digit
majors. Rob Manfred has not said, we won't let you move, the way Paul Tagliabue said to New Orleans, we won't let you move. He hasn't done it. He's blessed this.
Yeah.
He said
it would
move.
Be sad. It would be sad, but it's inevitable.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First. All without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
The U.S. Open tees off tomorrow at L.A. Country Club, which is where we find our friend Andy North. I was surprised, Andy, to learn that Los Angeles Country Club is hosting this for the first time. I would have thought they'd done it a few times before. You won two U.S. Opens. You have played this course. How would you describe the course?
Well, I think it's really a wonderful test of golf. It's something that's a little bit different than the players normally see. It's got some huge fairways, which you don't see in the U.S. Open very often, but there's a lot of slope. It's really a second shot golf course. There's some really teeny little greens, and there's some bigger greens with some really awkward spots in it. I think you're going to see some really cool stuff this week. You might see some bad stuff too. If you hit it sideways here a little bit and get it in the junk, you can see some double and triples. So I think watching on TV, it's going to be a great watch.
Well, Andy, it sounds like listening to all the coverage that players are obsessively trying to get in practice rounds and staying at the range extra time because they haven't seen it. A lot of them haven't played it. Who does this setup and course set up well for?
Well, I think, first of all, you always have to think about the guys who are our best players, you know, from Rahm and Scheffler and Koepka and Rory, that group of guys. You surely always have to talk about them. But I think you take a guy like a Cantlay, who's obviously a great player, but he played here a lot. UCLA guy, just right down the street. Max Homa, who lived in this area, he's won a bunch of tournaments in California. He won at Riviera early in the year. I mean, those guys understand this. They understand getting around in this area. Sometimes that's a big factor, but it's a golf course, so the players are really trying to play a lot of practice rounds on. It's going to take a while to figure this one out, and it's going to be a wonderful test.
As long as we're talking about best players, we've got to add, since it's a major, Brooks Koepka, who said yesterday he believes he can win double-digit majors. Andy, you know how hard it is to win majors firsthand. Does that sound reasonable to you?
You know what? Of all the players who are currently playing, I think he'll end up with the most major championships. I think he's an absolute killer when it comes to a major. Most, I'd say probably 75% of the players in this field, when you get to a major championship, their game maybe goes down a little bit. It's not as good as it is on the normal weekly tournaments. Koepka comes to a major, his game gets better, very much like you saw Nicholas, very much like you saw Tiger Woods. They could play at this level as well as anybody, and Koepka's one of those guys. He loves come to majors. He loves people complaining about how hard it is. He loves the chaos that's around the tournament. He's going to win a bunch more, I think, before he's done.
Andy, I'll give you another guy whose game goes up in majors, and that's Jon Rahm. And Jon Rahm just yesterday talked about the fact that he felt some of the PGA Tour guys felt betrayed at what had happened. I'm going to go back to when you played on the tour, because the PGA Tour is the players more than anything else. If you woke up one morning and you found out they'd made a deal and they hadn't consulted you at all, much like Jon Rahm, how would you feel?
Well, I think, you know, this was a situation going back to last Tuesday that the negotiations and the discussions had to be kept quiet. As a player, yes, you would have liked to have understood what was going on, but it's so sensitive, and they still don't have any idea what the final product is going to look like. There's going to be a lot of work to be done over the next weeks and maybe months. So I think the players understand that. It was just kind of a shock when they heard, and they didn't have any idea what was happening.
We'll get you out of here on this. Wilbon and I debate this all the time. Mike believes that the most overblown story in golf is the sort of PGA Tour players versus the LIV Tour players. You are among the players. Do you believe that's overblown, or do you think it is a legitimate story given the fracture between the two tours?
I think that there may be a few players that there's some animosity, but once you get out here, you're competing against guys. You love to play against the best, and I think that's the bottom line. You get to major championship, it's nice to see all the best players here. You know, we saw how well Koepka has obviously played the first two majors of the year. You love to see those guys here and compete, and I guarantee you Jon Rahm will tell you he loves to see them here so he can try to beat them, and that's what it's all about, the best trying to beat the best.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for helping
us. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
Guys, anytime. Thanks a lot.
Let's take one last break, but still to come. The Yankees light up Max Scherzer. What's wrong with the warrior god?
Uh-oh. And why is Mike Trout struggling so much over the last month? We seem to ask that every year.
Have you played L.A.? Have you played L.A.?
Yes, twice. Yes, I have.
What'd you think?
Yes, I
have. How'd you do? Did you break a heart?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And the interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 62nd birthday, Sam Perkins. Big Smooth gets lost in the shadow of Michael Jordan. They were teammates at North Carolina. They were on the 1982 team that won the NCAAs over Georgetown, thanks to a jump shot by Jordan. In the NBA, Perkins got to the finals with the Lakers in 1991. And with Seattle in 1996, both teams lost to Jordan's Bulls. Perkins was on the gold medal Olympic basketball team in 1984, a team headlined by Jordan. Perkins played 17 years in the NBA for four different teams after being the fourth overall pick by Dallas in 1984. Averaged 11.9 points and six rebounds. That UNC team with Perkins, Jordan, yeah, and James Worthy, that team had massive star power.
It was such a great team, Tony. But you didn't mention, even though we saw it in the highlights, Jordan switching hands. Game one of the finals, a spectacular move because he thought his friend Sam Perkins was going to go up to block the shot. That's why he switched hands. Perkins never got off the ground, to my recollection. It's anchored, cemented.
But it's not Jordan's birthday. It's Perkins'
spectacular
birthday.
Spectacular move.
Happy anniversary, Greg Maddux. On this day 23 years ago, Maddux recorded his 387th putout, breaking Jack Morris's career record for a pitcher. Maddux finished his 23 seasons with 546 putouts, a record that still stands. With his renowned control and the late movement of his sinker, Maddux was arguably the greatest ground ball pitcher ever. In a shutout of the Yankees in the 1996 World Series, Maddux allowed one fly ball and 18 ground balls, earning 19 ground ball outs when Wade Boggs hit into a double play. Maddux stands eighth all-time in victories with 355. That's one more than Roger Clemens. And since Warren Spahn retired 58 years ago, Maddux has the most wins.
Tony, and despite all that greatness, and you are right, he's in the short conversation of greatest pitchers of all time. He's the second best pitcher to wear number 31 in Chicago. Second best. You want to know, you want to tell me who the best is?
You tell me, Mike, because I know you want to.
Ferguson Arthur.
Of course it's Ferguson.
Thank you very much.
Of course it is. And by the way, nobody will win 300 again, let alone 355.
No, they won't. 300. Unbelievable, man.
Having trails to a save for Devin Williams for the first time all season. The Brewers and their all-star closer got beat last night on a walk-off two-run homer by Carlos Correa, 7-5. It was Correa's first walk-off homer ever in the regular season, though he has two famous ones in the playoffs. Like before, Correa pointed to his wrist after the homer to signify, it's my time. Williams hadn't blown a save all season, had allowed only one run in 21 and two-thirds innings. Williams took the mound with a 5-3 lead over the Twins, and it unraveled completely. Having yielded a home run earlier in the inning to Michael A. Taylor, it was the first time in his five-year career that Williams gave up two homers in a game.
Don't point to your wrist. Doesn't that belong to Dame Lillard? Wasn't he doing that years ago when he threw Harden and Westbrook out of the playoffs with great deep shots? It would point to his wrist for Dame time. It's too derivative. Mm-hmm. Get something else.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you like when Dame does it? Because, I mean, I don't like when anybody does it. But if I like
Dame,
when somebody
like
does
when
it, then I don't like when everybody does it. Let's go
You're
to
right.
the big fish.
Dame did it.
The PGA Tour says Commissioner Jay Monahan is recuperating from what is called a medical situation. Your thoughts?
I mean, he has stepped away from his duties until he recovers, and we hope he recovers quickly and completely. Max Scherzer gave up six earned and three and a third in the loss to the Yanks. What's wrong with your boy?
I don't know. I mean, he's 38. Verlander goes tonight. He's 40. You know, we say it a lot here. Not everybody is Tom Brady. Not everybody.
That's right.
Mike Trout is batting 208 over his last 33 games. What's wrong with your boy?
He had a long slump last year, but he came out of it, back-related probably, but it wasn't this long. Joe Burrow says Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, and there's no argument. You want to argue?
No. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football. I think he's an all-timer, but if I had to go with the next guy, it might well be Burrow, right? Burrow's really good.
Maybe.
Last one, Miguel Cabrera hit his first home run of the season this afternoon. Is that significant?
Yeah, I guess so, because I thought he had retired. And this is his last season before he retires. Yes, I forgot. Yeah. I thought he was gone now.
Yeah. We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. Happy birthday tomorrow to the captain.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Cabrera, one of the underrated players ever in baseball.
Except you thought he had retired. You didn't even know he was still playing.
Thought he was gone.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.